Green energy in its various elements has been declared the necessary future of energy generation here in America. While tomorrow can certainly create different situations versus today, proponents of green energy want tomorrow to be today. That rush is creating concerns. Example, we've talked about it here in the show. There are those who say that the rush to offshore wind turbine construction is resulting in a deadly consequence for marine life, specifically whales and dolphins. Joining us is the head of an organization which has built a coalition to demand that these concerns be heard and addressed. He is the president of the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, Craig Rucker. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Website for the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT, CFACT.org, and we have it posted at our homepage as well. You had a coalition building, and you have a presentation of information. What is it that you are trying to help people understand that is being brushed aside, ignored, overlooked, or diminished?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things we've been working on is to try to bring various stakeholders, you know, people that are involved in this issue together. We did that just in Cape May over the weekend, where we had a demonstration. I don't know that we had two of them, actually, but one of them that I was involved in had maybe about 120 people at it and garnered some local media. This is to try and draw attention to the fact that this offshore wind industrialization, that is putting in these large, massive turbines that when you add in the rotors get over 1,000 feet, have environmental impacts. And we think that the Biden administration, which has as a policy they want to put 30 gigawatts of these wind farms in by the year 2030, they're making a very quick rush to judgment, not doing the proper environmental impact statements. And consequently, we think there's a linkage, or at least should be explored, between the sounds that are being made from the sonar blasting, which they do with sonar to map the ocean floor, and this pile driving that they're doing to put up these massive wind turbines. And that might be causing an increase in whale beachings and also dolphins and other creatures that navigate by sonar. And we've seen a precipitous rise since they've been doing this in 2016, of an increase of about 400% on some of our beaches, and some 70 whales have been washed up dead this year. And so we'd like to see a moratorium on this until they look at this a little more closely.
I know that some members of your coalition, as well as some members of the State House in Trenton on the Republican side, have said, well, let's just do a moratorium. They want the proposed a 90-day moratorium. Let's see if the number of beached marine life drops. Then we know we have a problem. If not, then we know we're wrong and the projects should and could go ahead. And that's been rebuked for who's afraid of the truth here.
Well, and I would agree with that. I would also say it might be problematic because a lot of these whales navigate up and down the eastern shore, and it would depend on when they're in the area as to when that ceasing and desisting would occur. So I think it's a good idea, but I also think that they have not done adequate studies. And here's an example. What happens is that when they were saying that there's no evidence, and you often hear this from the wind industry, no evidence whales are being harmed by any of this. Well, what they're looking at is punctured eardrums. So when they look at the dead corpses that wash up on the shore, they say, no, their eardrums are intact. But I don't think anybody is necessarily saying that their eardrums would be punctured. What's happening is if they navigate by sonar, they get misdirected, and they can collide with ships or wash up on beaches. It'd be much like if you had a horn and you saw a herd of deer grazing in a field, you just honk it, and they go scattering everywhere, and a few run into cars.
Just for the edification of the person listening right now, too, I should have put this out there at the beginning. Is your organization pro or anti-green energy? Are you one of an organization who sees the need for it, but we're rushing in the transition? We're closing down what we have before we have something else running that can transition, we can transition into?
I would say the latter of those two. We think we have forms of energy now that have proven pretty good, and they've cleaned up their act. One of them that should be looked at again more thoroughly is nuclear energy. But in general, we've been out there at the forefront saying that a lot of what is called green energy, they've done good PR, but it's not green. It's not green in the sense of its possible impacts on marine life. We know of its impacts out west. We're very involved in trying to save eagles. They've been given a pass there as well in terms of putting up wind farms and solar farms that impact wildlife out there with the enormous amounts of habitat that are chewed up to put them in, and also where you get the component parts and the rare earth minerals that are necessary for the batteries and that like. So, you know, the lithium and that coming from China, often using slave labor, or cobalt in the Congo, which uses child labor, are particularly troublesome as well.
Dr. Craig Rucker, who's the president of the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT, CFACT.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned how, in a way, a red carpet is being rolled out for these projects. That red carpet could and probably will mean a higher cost for energy for the consumer listening, because these companies are getting tax breaks, tax rebates. They call it inflation adjustments, which basically means giving the company more money than what they initially bid for on the project. Those are ranging anywhere between 27 to 70% more for some of the projects. And that is going to, in turn, create a higher cost of energy for what is eventually produced. And additionally, when it comes to the wind turbine projects, they're sort of overlooking the fact that offshore projects are, by some estimates, better than twice the cost of on-land projects.
You're exactly right. And that's actually been their, why a lot of them are seeing their demise recently, as even in more blue states where you would have support for this, they're not willing to see these costs rise, as you just mentioned. And thus far, I mean, you've seen, for example, Suncoast Wind up in Massachusetts paid $60 million just last week to get out of building its 2,400-megawatt plant up there. You have other ones. The Empire Wind in New York is also going to be renegotiated and may be closed. In fact, if you tally up, Biden wants to get about 30,000 megawatts or 30 gigawatts in. At least a third of that is likely to be shut down just because of these cost overruns, and companies backing out and even paying millions to back out of the deals because they're not cost effective.
When it comes to here in New Jersey, one of the projects off the coast of Atlantic City that is under contract with the company Ørsted, who, by the way, came up and said, well, you know, we're kind of like $2 billion in the hole here. A lot of the elements of the project being overlooked, one of them being the fact that, okay, they do the generation of the energy out there on the ocean. How do you get it to the people? About 7 miles of cable running under the beach and land. Again, another element that could have an impact on the environment, and another element that they seem to not want to discuss very much, do they?
No, they don't. And they're running into problems with this on Long Island, too, with another Ørsted project out in, I think it's called South Fork. And the communities there do not want the cables coming in for various reasons, and I think the towns have actually called for a moratorium. So you're right. There's a host of things, that obstacles that have to be looked at. Ørsted, I think, went to the White House saying they're ready to cease and desist all their operations and construction unless they get some sugar sweetheart deal from the administration to kind of cover its costs. And given that this is a high priority for the president, he'll probably figure out a way to get them that money. But it's a shame because it's not working. It's not something that is going to benefit consumers. And you can tell this by looking at countries like Denmark, which are heavily reliant on wind. They pay somewhere around 35 to 40 cents a kilowatt hour, but consumers do, or ratepayers. Here in America, in general, it's around 10, 12 cents, maybe as high as 18 cents in some states, but it's easily double and in some cases triple the cost that we're used to paying for rate. And it's also not reliable, as even wind power advocates say it only operates at best about 38% of the time, and they'll have to find energy from other sources when wind isn't blowing sufficiently.
I know this is hypothetical, but should another superstorm Sandy come through any part of the region along the Atlantic seaboard, we can only imagine what the cost to repair these wind turbines would happen to be, and what do you do during the downtime as well. But I want to wrap up here with just I mentioned you have your coalition that CFACT has formed. Not all environmental groups are on board with your coalition. What's your message for those environmentalists who continue to call for these projects to continue?
Well, I wish they would pause and look at the facts. I think there's a concern we have with some of the major environmental groups. I think they should look and see if, in fact, some of these major wind companies are, in fact, giving them money. And that may be tainting what their opinion is on this particular thing. So I'm not suggesting that in every case, but certainly some of the major environmental groups have been receiving generous sums of money from them. And they, I think, and not saying that that entirely is the case, but maybe influencing their opinion on this. So as far as the grassroots go, use your common sense. Learn more by visiting our website at cfact.org. And I think once you look at the issue, I think you'll have a change of heart on this.
He is the president of the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Again, the website, cfact.org. Craig Rucker, thank you so much for your time and for being here today.
Pleasure being on. Thanks for having me.